the Lord help us to commence with hymn 143. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. 143.
Thank you.
first book of Samuel, chapter 12. The first book of Samuel, chapter 12. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and grey-headed, and behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgat the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Baalim and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. May the Lord bless his word and help David in prayer.
To seek thee now. Lord, we have to come confessing our baseness, as we've been singing in our hymn, that we have nothing to bring before thee but sin and disgrace, and even the sins of this day, Lord, since we awoke this morning. Oh, we would come seeking pardon and peace through the blood of Jesus Christ, to humble ourselves at thy footstool as beggars, begging that thou wilt send down a portion for our souls, a token for good, that thou hast forgiven all our sins, that thou hast cast them behind thy back, to be remembered no more forever. Lord, we have to come pleading that our hope is alone in thy mercy in Jesus, to ask that thou wilt show us that thy awful sufferings at Calvary, in Gethsemane, at the judgment seat, all that thou didst endure, and that thou didst die the death of the cross, that it was for us to purge away our iniquities. And oh, we do long to have that seal in our hearts, that it was done for us, that thou didst rise again to show that the work was finished and complete, that even death could not hold thee. Lord, we ask that thou wilt condescend to send thy Spirit into our midst this day, to draw forth prayer in our hearts unto thee, that thou wilt show us each these things. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our ears. Cause us to hear the word of life. And oh, to see our interest in the Saviour's blood, our pardon sealed, and peace with God. Lord, if there are those here who as yet have not seen these things, whose hearts thou hast not opened, wilt thou begin with them today? Wilt thou put a cry in their hearts, that though they see thee not, yet that thou wilt reveal thyself, thy ways, the way of life eternal, the way to heavenly bliss? Oh, we do specially pray, Lord, that thou wilt quicken souls into life and cause them to cry unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Lord, and if thou hast begun with some of us, we have to look back and say there was nothing in us that could merit esteem or give the Creator delight. It was all of thy sovereign grace. It was all of thy electing love. And we pray if it might be thy good pleasure that each one found here in this house of prayer might be found under thy love, among those whom thou hast chosen unto life before the world began, for whom thou didst send thy dear Son to die. And Lord, we have nothing to plead before thee in return. Our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Look down from heaven and behold, and may we be seen not in our sins, for thou canst not behold iniquity, but wilt thou see us in the beauty of thy dear Son, that his righteousness has covered us, that he has atoned for all our sins, that we are received in love, because thou dost love thy dear Son. And oh, we pray, Lord, that the word this day may be precious to our souls, that it may be with divine power, that it may be sealed by the Holy Ghost, that it is from God on high, a message from the Almighty God to a worthless worm upon the earth. Lord, wilt thou do it for thy name's sake, for the glory of thy holy name? Wilt thou cause us to hear that powerful voice within our souls, deliver him from going down into the pit? I have found a ransom. And Lord, those who are far off, feeling to be at the ends of the earth, wilt thou speak that word with divine power to them? Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. Lord, we hope we can say we have felt that divine power in time past. Even now, Lord, wilt thou grant a renewing and a reviving. And may we be enabled to say with the psalmist of old, he restoreth my soul. Oh, to feel once more that thou art our God, that thou hast not left us to die with the wicked, that we have not sinned away the day of grace, though our sins do testify against us, and we feel thy afflicting rod, yet, Lord, that there is hope in thy death. Oh, the beams of thy love, they pass knowledge, and we long to feel them again, that thou wilt draw us to the mercy seat, to commune with thee there, as thou hast promised, there will I commune with thee. And Lord, when thou dost see the blood sprinkled there, the blood of a dear dying Saviour, wilt thou pass over us? We ask that thou wilt, if thy good pleasure, use the word this day in many hearts, suit it to many cases, that thou wilt remember those who have come up, seeking that thou wilt in thy great goodness speak a word to their souls, a word of comfort, a word of direction, that thou wilt show them now thy way. Lord, to show that they are born of God, and that their treasure is above. O Lord, it is thy work alone to take of the things of Jesus and to show them unto us. And we pray for that great work to be done in our hearts, that we may have something to cleave to cling to as our hope of life, that the Lord has spoken to our souls and not left them destitute, and that He is with us and will never leave us nor forsake us, though we often forsake Him. And we ask that thou wilt help our dear brother to read, Lord, that thou wilt remember each soul here, and the things which were preached in former times may once again be with that divine power to do them good. And may we be enabled to go away and to beat out that which we have gleaned, to meditate before thee, to beg of thee to show us that it is for us, and that there is a purpose of everlasting mercy in these things. We think, Lord, of thy servant who should have been here if thou had spared him. But, Lord, it was not thy will or purpose. We would humbly bow before him. And we think of the former times when he preached here. And, O Lord, do revive those things in our hearts, that it may be he being dead, yet speaking. We pray for the mourning family. Be with them. Lord, bless them. And we pray for thy servant we hope to hear this evening, if thy holy will, that thou wilt send him from thyself a message, those things that thou wouldst have him speak unto us to do our souls good. Help us to hold up his arms by prayer. Lord, may it prove that he is indeed thy servant to our never-dying souls. We do remember each case before thee, and thou knowest each case, many hidden ones, Lord. Those things that are too hard for us, enable us to bring them unto thee. But we do specially pray for our friends in the great trial that has befallen them, in the fire in their house. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt sanctify it to them each. Cause them to rejoice that in thy mercy there was no loss of life or hurt done to any of our dear friends, and yet, Lord, to consider these things and wherefore they are sent. And Lord, soon we each must face a never-ending eternity. And how will it be with us then? How will it be when we come to stand before thy judgment seat? Lord, shall we be found among that number to whom thou wilt say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you? Or will it be, depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you, into everlasting burnings? O Lord, do remember us each in that day. Show that thou hast put us in thy covenant, and that thou wilt bring us at last to be with thee, where we long to be, to sing the praises of thy name, to an endless eternity, that thou hast loved us before we knew thee, that thou hast washed us in thy own blood, that thou hast quickened us into life, and that thou wilt bring us safely through the swellings of Jordan to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, do put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Lord, we also pray for those who are walking through deep trials at this time, known unto thee each one. Those who have been afflicted, Lord, and thou hast restored them thus far, we remember thy goodness and pray that thou wilt be with them still. And now we cast ourselves upon thee. Our only hope is that thou wilt work, Lord, that thou wilt do good for the honour and glory of thy holy name, not for anything in us, but all because of sovereign mercy. O Lord, remember us and help us to bless thee for all the favours thou hast shown unto us each from the day of our birth to this very hour. Thy sparing mercy, thy kind provision, that we are yet on praying ground, help us to bless thee for these things. Also, Lord, that we are free to meet thee, that we have thy holy word before us. Oh, do make it light, life and power to our souls. We pray for a building up of the things that remain, that thou wilt not leave the churches to perish utterly. Oh, that there might be that cry in our hearts, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. My soul would pray for Zion still, while life and strength remain. We also pray for our nation, Lord, that it might please thee to turn the hearts of men, that there may be many who seek the living God in sincerity and in truth, and also that there may be those who make righteous laws rather than the unrighteous laws which are passed so frequently now. Lord, how they grieve us, and they must grieve thee, but all men's hearts are in thy hand, and we pray that thou wilt turn, that thou wilt remember our Prime Minister, that thou wilt remember our Sovereign, the Queen. Lord, can it please, it's not too hard for thee, Lord, can it please thee to bless them also with a new heart and a new spirit. And oh, we would pray for those who lie round about this house of prayer, who go about on this day the same as on any other day. Oh, we pray that thy hand may be put forth to touch hearts and to cause them to realize their solemn position before a holy, heart-searching God with eternity before them, nor that it may be thy will that some may turn to the fold and enter in. Hear us, Lord, in these things. We confess our sinfulness, our unworthiness before thee. We plead with thee to come down, reveal the things of God, make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 429. D. Dear Lord, and will thy pardoning love embrace a wretch so vile? Wilt thou my load of guilt remove and bless me with thy smile? 429. Sermon preached by Mr. Popham. You will find the text in the chapter we read, the first book of Samuel, chapter 12, verse 22. 1 Samuel, chapter 12, Verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. The connection of this word is deeply interesting and instructive. You are acquainted with it. Hitherto the nation had been what men call theocratic, that is, God had been their king. Then degeneration, which was constantly showing itself by their turning aside from God, took a step forward, a step in the wrong direction, and they asked for a king that they might be like other nations. A remarkable thing. If you turn aside and want somebody or something that you may be like other people, woe to you. They wanted to be like the heathen nations about them, from whom God had separated them and said that they were not to be as the heathen, were not to learn their manners, were not to give their daughters to the sons of the heathen, nor take the daughters of the heathen for their sons. Separation from the world was remarkably set forth in this type. When churches turn aside and seek to be like other people, it is a sad thing. These people asked for a king, and the saying displeased Samuel very much. But the Lord said to him, "They have not rejected you, they have rejected me." May God help us to take very close heed to this. When you turn aside and seek other things, it is a rejection of God. But the Lord set a king over them, and Samuel gave them the order and kind of government, what the king would do, how he would oppress them, take a tenth of their crops, and of their sons and of their daughters. He would take all he needed, or thought he needed. Yet they said, "Nay, we will have a king. Notwithstanding all you tell us, we will have a king." That is human nature. No matter what God says, you will have your way if you are not born again. You will have your way until you are stopped. And now the day had come when the Lord would allow this king to come forth. And Samuel was to demonstrate to the people the evil which they had committed, hence the chapter which I read. Notwithstanding, Samuel tells them not to turn aside, not to go further away from God, lest they should follow after vain things which could not profit nor deliver, because they are vain. Then Samuel demonstrated to them by a singular thing what the Lord thought of their doing. "Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king." And that was done. And the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. This is before us, and by the help of the Lord, I shall set before you the infinite goodness, love, mercy, and faithfulness of God to faithless people, to his own children, who, times without number, turn aside from him. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Let us look at this in connection with the Church of the Living God, and take notice of some of the evidences that he will not, that he does not, forsake his people for his great name's sake. Two things that were done in answer to Samuel's cry to the Lord, thunder and rain in time of harvest, may be taken spiritually without any fancifulness. When a child of God or a church of God shall turn aside, when it may have been more than once or twice, and some of you have turned aside from God, he has sent thunder, thundered into your consciences some rebuke. A time when you were easy, when pleasant plants and the strange slips which you had set were grown and you were taking pleasure in them. Then he thundered into your consciences and told you solemnly what you had done, where you had got to, and you feared him. It is a mercy that the Lord does this with his people. We shall never be able to sufficiently thank him for sending thunder. That is, a word with power and authority into the conscience, arresting and teaching and bending the heart before him with solemn conviction of having done wrong. These people feared God greatly, and Samuel, and they said, "Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." And something has come, and you have said, "God has been good to me, but I have been evil in my conduct to him. He has been kind to me, but I have turned aside from him, and what shall I do?" In Ezekiel, the people are reported to be saying, "We pine away in our sins. How then should we live?" And when you have had some conviction that has been like thunder, at a day you do not expect such a visitation, when you were expecting to reap your evil sowing, then you have said, "How shall we live?" A very solemn dispensation that is. And I entreat any of the Lord's people here who have had such a dealing of God with them to take very close heed to it. And may grace be given to fall flat before him. This people had no excuse on this occasion. They said, "We have added unto all our sins this evil." And you may say, "I have added to my many backslidings this one. I have added to my many turnings aside this one. I have added to all that I have done before this that has hardened my heart, but now this thunder has terrified me." God's word makes to the people to whom it is spoken in rebuke, in reproof, a thundering. It arrests, it shakes, it destroys false confidence, it rejects it, and the sinner says, "I have sinned. I have added to all my sins this, I have got tired of God." Malachi was inspired to charge the people with that. They said of the service of God, "What a weariness is it?" I know what that means. I got into a backsliding state many years ago, 60 years ago, and for months my inward condition was a grievous one in the sight of God, though I did not know it. But I knew that of the service my heart said, "What a weariness is it?" When God came, it was thunder in my conscience. I was obliged to heed it, as all are to whom God so speaks, and then they fall down, fall flat before him. We have sinned. We have committed this evil. We were tired of God's service. We wanted to be independent of him and took means whereby we might possibly accomplish that. But no, now he has come. Mark is coming, my friends. Mark is coming. Mark every clap of thunder that comes from the scripture by the Holy Spirit into your consciences. God has something to say when he thunders. He has got some charge to make against you, some complaint to make. He sent rain, raining conviction. A shower comes of solemn conviction into your soul, and you fear a flood. He sent that. True religion is very solemn. God's dealings are very weighty. They kill the flippancy of nature in various ways, and the rain was not at this time a rain of mercy. It was a rain in wheat harvest, when their sun shone in a calm sky week after week, and no drop of rain ordinarily fell. And that is how God deals with his people spiritually. What then? Oh, said Samuel, fear not. The very thing that they were feeling. They were trembling at the word of God. They were afraid that their harvest was going to be utterly destroyed. Yea, that they themselves were not to live. Then he said, fear not. Ye have done an evil thing, but with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. With him is forgiveness. Therefore fear not. How timely is God's fear not. How fitting it is to a sinner who is full of fear and says, I deserve this. No, said the prophet Samuel, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet now that you are convinced of it and are before the Lord fearing greatly, fear not, for he will not forsake you. How wonderful is this! I do not think any human language will ever be able adequately to set forth the infinite kindness of God in this word at such a season, before such sins, such guilt, that he should say to the guilty ones, fear not, I won't forsake you. When this is the case, mercy is very near. Now I will give you, as God may help me, several signs that God has not forsaken you. You who are his people and with whom he may be dealing solemnly. And the first is confession. No excuses. Confession. We have added to our sins this evil. And you begin to confess. You may not be able to say how long on a night you were awake, mourning and confessing, and putting before the Lord your sins, and wondering that he has allowed you to live, that his providence has preserved your life. Yea, you may have been so engaged in this business of confession, and putting before him all that you could remember, and then asking him to look on you in the great bulk of your transgression, until at last he has said, speak no more to me of this. How good of him. I remember that very well in my own case. He stops confession sometimes. If he did not, it might, through temptation, become excessive. But he stops it. Speak no more to me of this. Why not? I won't forsake you. With him is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption. Confession is then a sign that God will not forsake you. His ear is open to the cry of the humble. His eye is on the heart that is broken, on the spirit that is contrite. He sees there an acceptable sacrifice. And following, rather one should say accompanying, this is prayer. Another sign that God will not forsake you. When he has no mercy for people, he does not give prayer for mercy. When mercy is in store, then mercy is prayed for. When forgiveness is asked, forgiveness is ready. When salvation is needed, salvation is near. The Lord was ready to save me. And surely some of you who may be under sharp conviction may be listening to some thundering word in your conscience. You will find, as God gives you prayer, there will be a stilling of that voice, of that thunder. There will be a movement in your heart Godward, whereas the thunder might have frightened you and driven you away. Now, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in you will be making intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And we should, and we shall, if we are wise spiritually, wise in such a case, take very particular heed to that. Can you pray? Do you feel enabled to pray? Do you get access to God? Is there a moving, a melting of your heart before God? A sorrow for your sins? Do you sometimes feel you can say with the psalmist, I will be sorry for my sin? Then God has not forsaken you. Another sign is that the Holy Ghost begins again to perform his covenant office which Jesus promised. He said, He shall glorify me. And he gives a view of the Lord Jesus, of the cross of Christ, of the infinite worth of the precious blood of Christ, and that, though for the moment it does not take away all the guilt, greatly encourages you to hope. Yea, then what the Lord would have is done. You fix your hope in the Lord, that your hope might be in God. It is in the dear, ever-blessed Saviour, Jesus Christ. And you look to his blood and to that alone for reconciliation. Here a man moves more comfortably, quietly, hopefully, believingly, with his eye on the Lord Jesus. The cross of Christ becomes again his lively hope, and he is all but ready to sing the song of salvation, yea, to take the cup of salvation and praise the Lord. God has not forsaken a man, a woman, a child of his, in whom all this is wrought by the Holy Spirit. That sinner has God for his God. That sinner has the Holy Spirit for his instructor and for his guide. That sinner, though he has turned aside and gone astray days without number and forgotten his resting place, now is turned in that heavenly direction again. He says, Let me go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. His footsteps are there directed. How beautiful are his feet with shoes. Well, the Lord will not forsake his people, and he gives them another sign. Where has his word, when he would convince and condemn and lay low, was thunder and also rain? Now his word is different. It is, call upon me in the day of trouble. It is this, with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. It is, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. That is his word. Come to me, he says. Open your mouth wide. I brought you out of Egypt. You have turned away from me from the very day I brought you out of Egypt until now. Yet turn to me. Oh, the loving invitation the Lord gives, the kind attraction he makes himself to be in the heart, in the conscience, in the spirit. He has not forsaken a sinner with whom he thus deals. Then the sinner may be saying, Oh, but Lord, my sins and the future. I am afraid of that. I cannot promise anything. He may drop this unto you. Sins past, sins present, sins to come, all washed away by the precious blood of Christ. Have you got these signs? Bless God for them. The Lord will not forsake his people. Another sign will be this. He may send a minister of truth to you to speak to your case. You may go to the service with little hope, perhaps not very much prayer, more trembling and fear than anything else. And he may give his servant a word to take your case up. You may think, surely, there can be nothing in the service for me. And yet, without the minister knowing anything about it, he may just take the case up and speak about it, so that in spite of all your unbelief, you believe you are a believer. You say, the Lord has not given me up. After all my guilt and all my fears, he has not given me up. And you say of the minister, now know I that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true, for the power of it is in my soul, the authority of it is in my conscience. The Lord will not forsake his people. But now, leaving the signs, let us come to the reason. Oh, what a reason! Not in the sinner, not in his tears, not in his confessions, not in his turning again to the Lord. No, nothing. You were singing just now what is true. Not the labour of my hands, not my tears. What then? The reason is in God. The reason is God himself, for his great name's sake. Oh, said Moses and Joshua, if the people are destroyed, what will become of thy great name? What wilt thou do for it? How difficult you may find it to believe that your salvation and God's honour are linked, tied together. To believe that you, a most unclean creature, can be found in that great sheet knit at the four corners, which was let down from heaven to Peter, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. It was taken up into heaven again, and, oh my friends, it just is this, for his great name's sake. This brings us to a consideration of the covenant of the priest, Jesus Christ, the crowned priest sitting on his throne, crowned yet a priest, the covenant between the persons of the Trinity. Though only two are named there in Zechariah, yet the Holy Ghost, being a person in the Godhead, can never be left out of any counsel of God. He is always there. Not often named in certain scriptures for one reason. He is the author of the scripture. But there is the council. And the apostle, or rather first Jeremiah, he speaks of the covenant, the new covenant which God will make. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, which covenant they break, though I was an husband to them. But this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall no more say every man to his neighbour and to his brother, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. For I will forgive their sins, and remember their iniquities no more, for my great name's sake. There it is. And further, out of this covenant have come showers of blessings on the people of God. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring. And these showers of blessing are the gospel, the everlasting gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ. These showers come freely. They do not wait for a man who is in the field to get to his home. They just come down, sovereignly, sweetly, sometimes unexpectedly, and there is a fullness in them. The apostle speaks of coming to the Romans in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. And these blessings, given so freely, so abundantly, so sovereignly, involve this great name of God. His honour is engaged to save the meanest of his sheep. Think of it, O believer, in present distress. Think of it. When a shower comes that does really contain in it the honour of God, can he have blessed you? Can he have given you a promise and then forsake you? What would become of his great name? He will not. He will come again. The Spirit will come again. The Holy Spirit will renew the face of the earth. Jesus will renew the face of the earth, and the Father will again and again receive these, his adopted, wayward prodigals. For his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. He was under no obligation to any of us to bless us, but he would do it. He would bless. Eternal love in personal election. God, by the prophet Moses, said to Israel, "The Lord did not set his love upon you because you were the greatest of all people, for you were the fewest, but he would do it because it pleased him." Pleased God? You know what pleasure is, what natural pleasure is. When you do a thing, take hold of a thing, adopt a thing or a profession and have success, it pleased God to save sinners. It pleased him to give his Son for sinners. It pleased his Son to come, to be made of a woman, made under the law, to be made sin, and take away the sins of his people. It pleased him to do it. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people, because it hath pleased him to make them his people. Pleased him, yes. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of the man, but he taketh pleasure in the fear that the man of God has. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, because he has made them to fear him. He has gathered them to his footstool. He has given them a new heart and a right spirit. He has blessed them with that faith that honours him and which he honours. It has pleased God to call you by grace. Yes, yes, it pleased him to grant to you the new birth. Then will he give it up? Oh, but I am wayward. Will he give it up? Is waywardness more than the blood of Christ? Is backsliding more than the restoring of the power and love and power of Christ? I'm not making a little of sin. I hope that idea will not be in any of your minds. Sin is an infinitely black thing, but the exaltation of Christ is above all that. He removed it all. He cast it all behind his back into the depth of the sea of forgetfulness. By God, never to be remembered, never to be mentioned again. The blood of Christ, a precious blood, cleanseth from all sin, doubt it not, and reconciles the soul to God from every folly, every fault. And William Gadsby says, "Whatsoe'er thy name or age be, it has no influence here. A poor old sinner, grey-haired, ready to die, blessed with grace, comes with the thunder in his conscience, and the rain of judgment on his circumstances. He comes and says, Lord, save my soul. He stands by the side of the thief and says, Lord, remember me, as thou hast promised to remember this thief. He ranks himself with the publican and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He goes to the jailer and says, here is a friend, a brother in sin, and a brother in prayer. What shall I do to be saved? And God hears him, and for his great name's sake will not forsake that redeemed, that chosen sinner, but will forgive him. Then said Samuel, turn not aside, you have done it. Now God has called you back. Turn not aside, follow him. Follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and all will be well with you. May the Lord grant this to be our case and our experience. Amen.
Jim Ince will preach this evening. Mr. Woodhouse will preach on Friday evening and next Lord's Day. And we hope to hold a church meeting on Friday, the 1st of April. Let us close with hymn 532. The ransomed of the Lord shall unto Zion come. A faithful, loving God will surely bring them home. He gave his life a ransom price, and Zion shall in him rejoice. Hymn 532.
sanctify me. Is the Lord, let him know what seemeth him. Lord, that which we see not, seems now. Oh, we will thank the Lord for my neighbors. Oh, so much grace. Lord, oh, after so much mercy comes, and so let me sink up. O Lord, we do cry like this. Do we believe, dear friend? Lord, we would thank thee for the kindness of a dear friend's sake. Lord, do bless each one. O Lord, we do cry like this. From that word, Lord, continue to obey one another's spirit. Lord, do be with us now as we gather with the children this afternoon. Lord, do help us. Lord, may there be something done this to Thy honour and glory. Lord, we do pray for my servant expecting to see. Lord, do bring him. Lord, we may preach that gospel unto us. We know all Christ, but to the poor the gospel is. Oh, may it be so this. Lord, do give him that to bring him. Lord, do bless our Lord. Lord, be with each one. Let us the needs of each word. Lord, do undertake for any trouble. Lord, we would remember those not with us this morning. Their elderly friends, Lord, they'll be living with them. Lord, in their hearts. Lord, we pray that they will draw near to them in their last day. Oh, that they may hold the things here with a loose. Oh, and that's that prayer will be on the cross. Oh, Lord, do now be with us. We will thank thee for each and every